721. And after this song, J.O., would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you. Could you help me start this, please?
When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will we find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's ride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's ride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?
If I'm in heaven, we're so thankful to thee for this and that opportunity to come and study of your word. We pray that each one here will be benefited by being here. We ask you to guide, guard, and direct us, and forgive us for our sins. For Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Josh.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you again. It's hard to believe we're almost at the end already. Tonight and tomorrow night. It goes by awfully fast. I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to lead a song, which is not my forte. But I do a little bit better with this style of song than I do with the ones in the book. Our lesson tonight is going to cover the story of Zacchaeus. So we're going to sing the Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Are y'all ready? You got your wee little man?
Yep.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he.
He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he born to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree
and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. That is one of our classic vacation Bible school songs for our children. And I'm really glad that it is. Gets that story in their heads. I really believe that's one of the main reasons why the Lord told us to sing. You know, if you look at the songs in our songbook, our songs are really, they're just either prayers or lessons that have been set to music. But once you add that music to it, you involve your emotions at a level that you wouldn't otherwise, and you activate your memory. You know, you can probably remember little jingles from commercials or TV shows from 50, 60 years ago. They get stuck in your head, don't they? And they never go away. And I've observed at our nursing home in Monette, we have a little service there for them every Sunday morning at 9. There are some members there who can't, you know, they don't have enough presence of mind to even have a full conversation with you. But when you start singing some of those old gospel hymns, their eyes light up, and they sing right along, and for as long as you're singing that song, they're fully there, right there with you. Music is a powerful thing. But sometimes there's a downside to that, and in the case of Zacchaeus, I think the downside is that we love that song so much, and we've sang that song for so long, that we associate this story with Sunday school and vacation Bible school. You know, Zacchaeus is one of those cute little kid stories of the Bible. But Zacchaeus is a story about a real person who really lived during the days of Jesus, and who faced some real struggles. Struggles that we face, some of us face ourselves today, and that, struggles that some of us cause today. Zacchaeus' story is found in Luke chapter 19. So if you want to turn there, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19. He being Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, what does that mean to you? How fond are you of the tax collector? Probably not too fond, right? I mean, they do come and collect some of your money every year. And I've had a couple of runarounds with the IRS over, you know, a number that wasn't right here, or them saying we hadn't paid them when we had. and having to track down the check number, and that can all be very frustrating and so forth. But you know, as frustrating and as annoying as it might be to have to pay taxes to your own government, how much more frustrating and aggravating and irritating would it be to have to pay taxes to another government? Now, some of you are rolling your eyes and saying, well, isn't that kind of what happens anyway? Because they send all our money to all these other places. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing. You know, if our government decides to send money to another country, at least it's our government deciding to send money to another country. But in Jesus' day, the people of Judea had to pay a tax to the Roman Empire. And they did not have any choice in it because Judea belonged to the Roman Empire. And the Jews hated that. They are patriotic people. They were a freedom-loving people. They were an independent people. They did not want to be serving a pagan empire, and yet they were. And the tax wasn't going towards repairing their roads. The tax wasn't going to any sort of service that they would enjoy. The tax was going to Rome, and it was a tax they paid for the privilege of living under the Roman Empire. They hated it. They hated Rome, and they hated paying taxes to Rome. So one of the worst things that you could do as a Jew was to give a job collecting taxes from your fellow Jews to send to Rome. Get the job being the one who collects that tax. You weren't just the tax collector. You were seen as a traitor to your country. And the Bible tells us that tax collectors were viewed with the worst kind of disgust in Jesus' day. For example, look in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, it says, Jesus reclined at table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? You see, to eat with a tax collector was just not something that a good, respectable Jewish person did. You didn't associate with tax collectors. And you know what? Jesus himself recognized that tax collectors were not a respected people. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Or what reward do you have? Excuse me. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So even Jesus is saying to the people, if you only love those who love you back, you're no better than a tax collector. Oh, they would not like to hear that. And then there's a really interesting passage later on in Matthew chapter 18. You might be familiar with this one. This is what we've used as the church discipline passage. Where if your brother has sinned, your brother has something against you, you go and you talk to him about it. And if he will not listen to you, then you take two or three members of the church with you. And if he will not listen to them, you take it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, here's what Jesus says, Matthew 18, verse 17. If he refuses to listen to them, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now here's what that tells us. Tax collectors weren't considered a part of the people. You might have been born a Jew, but if you were a tax collector, you were no longer considered a Jew. You were grouped with sinners. You were grouped with Gentiles. When Jesus tells them, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector, Jesus is saying, don't have anything to do with him. In the Jewish culture, you didn't have anything to do with the tax collector. You did not eat with the tax collector, just like you didn't eat with the Gentiles. You didn't go to stay in their homes. You were separate from them. Being a tax collector meant that the other families that you live with want nothing to do with you. Being a tax collector means no one is going to come to celebrate when your child is born. No one is going to invite you to celebrate their house for a feast. Being a tax collector means you're not welcome in the synagogue. You're not welcome in the temple. And they're in a particularly rough spot because they can't even offer sacrifices because the money they earn as tax collectors is not accepted by the temple. So they can't even pay to have a sacrifice offered. Being a tax collector means being cut off socially, being cut off religiously. And so we see that because he was a tax collector, Zacchaeus was short in more ways than one. He wasn't just short physically, he was short socially. And when you think about all that a tax collector had to endure, you might wonder, why in the world would anybody take that job? We don't know. It is possible that as a tax collector, you could see being a tax collector as a way to get rich. And it tells us that Zacchaeus was rich, right? And you know, one of the reasons, on top of the whole serving Rome thing, one of the reasons why people hated tax collectors is because they were seen as thieves. Because the tax collectors were under no obligation to collect only what Rome required. As long as Rome got their money, they didn't care how much extra you collected while you were at it. And guess who got to keep the extra? The tax collector. And if you're charging more than the tax actually is, well, so what? What are the people going to do? You can stick a Roman soldier on them saying, these Jews aren't paying their taxes. Never mind that you're charging them more than they're supposed to. You could, I suppose, make some good money at it, but is that really worth it? No. No, if you understand how important community life is, how important the synagogue is, how important the temple is to Jews in the first century, no, being a tax collector is not worth it. So why on earth would anybody be one? We can only speculate. But you know, the scriptures do tell us that Zacchaeus was small in stature. He was small. It might be that he was too small to work at whatever his father had worked at. It might be because he was small, he might have been too small to do a labor, physical labor, hard labor type job. Or it might have been that he was a tax collector because his daddy was a tax collector. And since his daddy was a tax collector, nobody would give him a job, so he had nothing else he could do. We don't know. But whatever the reason was, I guarantee you, he didn't become a tax collector because he was excited about it. It was probably the only choice he had for one reason or another. It was either beg or be a tax collector. So, how do people treat short people? Especially when they're kids. We make jokes about short people too, don't we? You know? Shaquille O'Neal once said, he's a really, really tall guy. He said, when you're tall, everyone assumes that you play basketball. But I always thought when I saw people who were really short, I assumed they rode a horse. Kids can make a lot of fun of people who are short, can't they? Especially boys. Because when you're short and you're small, you get pushed around, you can't keep up with everybody else. Pretty good chance that Zacchaeus got bullied when he was younger. And I imagine that being a short person who probably got picked on a lot, and being either from a family of tax collectors or from just being in such a state where he had no choice but to go into it himself, Zacchaeus wasn't a popular person, probably for most of his life. So what do you do when you're cut off from the temple, you're cut off from the people, and you're given this job that everybody hates, everybody disdains? You know, it's really hard to like your job when nobody likes you for doing it, right? What do? You do the only thing you can do. You make money at it. And you try to soothe your sorrows with money. Zacchaeus wasn't just any tax collector. He was chief tax collector. So he was the worst of the worst. And he was rich. I don't know how much of that he got from cheating people and how much he got from being a clever investor, whatever, but he was rich. And you know, when you have been picked on most of your life, which I assume he was, if he was short, when you finally get a chance to have some sort of power of your own, it's hard to resist picking on the people who picked on you. You wonder if maybe when he became chief tax collector, if there was somebody who bullied him when he was younger, and he thought, I'm going to take that guy for an extra 30%. As long as they're all going to hate on me, I'm going to at least make them pay for it. They won't welcome me into the synagogues. Well, I'm going to make it harder for them to make an offering in the synagogue. It's the only power you got. It's a lonely, it's a bitter way to live, but you're going to take what you can get, right? That's the kind of life Zacchaeus was living. He had money, but he had nothing else. I'm sure he had a family of his own, I suppose. And he probably associated with other tax collectors. But so many things that are so important to a Jewish person, especially back then, he didn't have. Most importantly, he couldn't go to the synagogue and he couldn't go to the temple. But then he hears about this new teacher, this new rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth. And this guy is different. He hears that Jesus of Nazareth speaks not like the Pharisees and the scribes. He speaks with authority. He hears that this Jesus of Nazareth is a worker of miracles. He is healing the sick. He's even raising the dead. It is clear to all who see that the Spirit of God is upon Jesus of Nazareth. And then, word gets around that this Jesus of Nazareth eats with tax collectors and with sinners. And now imagine what Zacchaeus must have thought. Imagine what Zacchaeus must have felt when he first hears, when he hears the word traveling around Judea about this Jesus of Nazareth, this rabbi who speaks with authority, whom the Spirit of God is upon, who works miracles, and who chooses to eat with tax collectors and sinners. Who even has a tax collector among his 12 apostles, his 12 disciples. Zacchaeus thinks, I have got to see this man. Because if this man truly is from God, If this man truly speaks with the authority of God, if the Spirit of God is truly upon this man, and he eats with tax collectors, he teaches a tax collector, there might be hope for me yet. There's no hope offered me at the temple, there's no hope offered me at the synagogue, but there might be hope for me with Jesus. I've got to see this man. So he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but then he has a problem. He can't, because he's too short, and the crowd is in the way. Now, what is one of the first rules that we learn when everybody's trying to see something or to be seen? Smaller people up front. Taller people in the back. You've gone through that before, right? Trying to get a family photo or get a class reunion photo or something. You're trying to get a big group photo. You put the tall people in the back. You put the short people up front, right? So that everybody can be seen. And if you're all trying to crowd around and see the same thing, you make way for the short people, right? You make way for the little ones. The taller ones, you need to step back because you're blocking the way. They always used to tell me when I was a kid, if I stood in front of a television screen, it's that you make a better door than you do a window. Can't see. Sit down. Get out of the way. But nobody's making room for Zacchaeus, are they? The right thing to do would be to let him on through. But he's a tax collector. We don't make room for tax collectors. You know, in the Jewish traditions, some of the teachings that have been written down from old Jewish rabbis throughout history, there's one in there about what to do if you brush up against the tax collector in the street. If a Pharisee brushed up against a tax collector in the street, he had to immediately do three things. He had to immediately spit in the direction of the tax collector, head straight home, and burn whatever he had been wearing that had touched the tax collector. We're not making any room for the tax collector. We're not letting him up front. And I wonder if maybe there's some people there who've been cheated by him before, or have gone through having to pay him, and they think, oh, he wants to see the teacher, huh? This might be a rare opportunity for us to get back at him. They might actually scrunch together a little tighter. For whatever reason, Zacchaeus, he can't get through. He can't see Jesus because the people are blocking the way. Do we ever get in the way of people who are wanting to see Jesus? Who are we in this story? We are not Jesus. We want to be like him. We follow him. That's what the title Christian means, follower of Christ. We want to be like him, but we are not Jesus. So that leaves us two options. We're either Zacchaeus or we're the crowd. We're either seeking Jesus or we're already seeing him. And if you're a member of the Church of Christ, well, then you already know who Jesus is. You have seen who Jesus is. You've accepted Jesus. You've been baptized into Jesus. Right? Do we, as the ones who can see Jesus, ever get in the way of those who can't? Who are wanting to, but can't? I was told a heartbreaking story by... I guess he is a friend. He's more like a colleague than a friend, but... A fellow minister, and you know, for confidentiality, I will not mention his name or the name of the congregation where he worked, but he told me a heartbreaking story. He's working for this congregation, and they were discussing how they could attract visitors. And he said, well, there's a whole neighborhood that we can see from the front door of our building right over there. Nobody who lives over there that I know of comes to worship with us here. Why don't we go over there and invite them? There's a lot of kids in that area. I've seen them out playing. And you know what he was told? We don't really want those kids here. They aren't disciplined very well. They're rowdy. They're disruptive. They dirty the walls. They would break things. We don't really want them here. He didn't stay there much longer. This crowd didn't really want Zacchaeus there. And brothers and sisters, we have to check ourselves. It's one thing to say that we want visitors, that we want new members, that we want the church to grow. But could it be that we only want that if the people who are coming are more people who think and talk and look like us? Fact is, people are messy. People bring problems with them. Sometimes they're people like tax collectors who aren't popular, who you wouldn't encourage your children to associate with. And we don't look that way towards tax collectors in the United States, but what about if it's folks from a certain neighborhood? You know, that neighborhood's got that reputation. And you don't go into that neighborhood. You don't hang out there. You know, the Jewish people, it wasn't just tax collectors they avoided. They also avoided Samaritans. And if you could, if you were traveling from Galilee to Judea, Samaria was right in between them, if you could, you would take the extra time to go all the way around to avoid passing through Samaria. Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman. Jesus sat and ate with tax collectors. And Jesus looked up to Zacchaeus and said, come down, for I must stay at your house today. It's one thing for us to see Jesus. It's another thing for us to get out of the way so that others can see him too. I fear that there are too many people out there who do not know the Lord. They want to, but they don't know him because they think in order to follow him, they have to be just like us. And they're never going to be just like us. I had a conversation over Facebook once with someone who said, Jesus says a lot of good things, but I don't think I could ever be a Christian. And I messaged back, why not? He said, well, if you're a Christian, you have to be a Republican. And they have policies I disagree with. And we got to be careful about things like that, you know? Because of where this person was, he just had the assumption that, well, all Christians are also Republicans. There was another person who thought that, well, he thought Christianity was a white man's religion. So, actually, Jesus was pretty brown. He lived in Judea. They don't come out blonde in Judea, my friend. It's definitely not a white man's religion. There are Christians in China. in the Middle East, in Africa, in South America, all over the world. And the Bible tells us that when the kingdom of heaven comes together in Revelation chapter 7, that it's a multitude from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. But all the Christians that he knew were white. Why is that? The truth is, we're just as tempted as these folks were, and as the first century Jews were, and a lot of people are. We're tempted to stay with people who make us feel safe. The people who aren't too different from us. And whether intentionally or unintentionally, we tend to stay away from the Zacchaeuses of the world. The truth is, Zacchaeus doesn't have to be tall to see Jesus. He just needs the tall person to get out of the way. And as the church, it is not our mission to make people Americans. It's not our mission to make them Republicans or Democrats or whatever political party you belong to. It's our mission to take them to Jesus. To take them to the Word, who was in the beginning with God and who was God, who is God. Now here's the encouraging note to the story. Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. And that's the great thing about our Lord. He did promise, if you seek, you will find. And if the church is getting in the way of the small tax collector seeing Jesus, God will provide a sycamore tree. For those who are truly seeking him, God will show them the way, either through us as the church or in spite of us as the church. God will not abandon those who are seeking him. He will provide a sycamore tree. But brothers and sisters, there shouldn't need to be a sycamore tree in Crockett, Mississippi. And there shouldn't need to be one in Monette, Arkansas. There should not need to be a sycamore tree anywhere where the people of the Lord are assembled. Because we should not be standing in the way. We should not be calling people to be like us. We should be calling them to Christ. There's a warning in Romans chapter 14. Verse 13. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Paul says, "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." Now, in the context, what's going on is you've got the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And they're at a bit of odds with one another. The Jewish Christians are saying, well, you've got to follow the Old Testament food laws. And there's this controversy, especially going around, can we eat meat? Because where we live in Rome, you get the meat in the marketplace. That meat might be in the marketplace because it was first sacrificed to an idol. And if it was sacrificed to an idol, we can't eat it. So maybe we just shouldn't eat meat at all. And some of them are saying, well, yeah, we can eat meat. And others are saying, no, we can't eat meat. And likewise, some of them are saying, we need to observe these days from the Jewish days. And others are saying, no, we don't have to observe those days. And Paul says, let us not pass judgment on one another, and let us not put a stumbling block in one another's way. Because the fact is, the Gentiles were not called to be Jews. They were called to follow Christ. And likewise, I think we, as Gentiles, we tend to overlook this one as well, but the Jews were not called to be Gentiles. They were called to follow Christ. You're not called to go to graduate school. I'm in graduate school. You don't have to go to graduate school. You don't have to go to college. You don't even have to graduate high school, although I recommend that you do. It's a lot harder if you don't, but you don't have to do that to serve the Lord. You serve Him as you are. My granddad raised cattle, and he loved it. You don't have to raise cattle to be a faithful servant of the Lord. You don't have to look like me or talk like me. You don't have to enjoy the things that I enjoy. You just need to come to Jesus. Even Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's a hard lesson for us sometimes because, well, pride tends to get into our heads and we think, well, you know, we're doing a pretty good job. Why wouldn't you want to be like us? The truth is, we need the grace of the Savior every bit as much as the tax collector does. The story ends with Zacchaeus hurrying down and receiving him joyfully. And they all grumble. He's going to be in the house of the sinner. But when he goes to that house of that sinner stands and says, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. You know what we call that? We call that repentance. Zacchaeus didn't just welcome Jesus into his house. He welcomed Jesus into his heart. He welcomed Jesus into his life. And he repented. No more living for money. No more chasing after money. I give it to God. I give it to the poor. I give myself to following the Word of God because Jesus had shown him the way to the Father. It's through the Son. Salvation came to Zacchaeus. And salvation can come to you too. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are the tax collectors, and there are the Pharisees. The tax collector realizes that he is a sinner, and realizes that on his own he has no hope. And the tax collector lives without hope until he meets Jesus. The Pharisee trusts in himself that he's righteous. He trusts that he does have it all together. That he is crossing the T's and dotting the I's and getting it exactly right. And then he crucifies Jesus. Which one are you? If we have any tax collectors out in the audience today, know that the Lord extends His invitation to you the same as He did to Zacchaeus. And if you believe in Him, you'll repent like Zacchaeus repented. You put Him on in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. You can walk in newness of life.
Amen.
And if you're a Pharisee, you need to talk with Jesus a little more. Because Jesus tells us, Paul tells us, the whole Word of God tells us, it's by grace that we are saved, through faith. Faith in Jesus. And we've got to put Him on. We've got to be baptized into Christ and put on Christ so that it's His works that shine, not our own. Truth is, That crowd who was grumbling about Zacchaeus being a sinner didn't realize that they were every bit as much the sinner that he was. And without Jesus, they all stand just as condemned. Without Jesus, we all stand condemned. But with him, we rise into eternal life. So if we can welcome you into the fold of God today, please come forward and let us do that. And if you're already a child of God today, let us commit as a family not to be a stumbling block, not to stand in the way. Let us shine our good works before men, not that they may see us, but that they may give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Let's not lead people into being just like us. Let's lead them to the cross. And if we need to pray about that, then let's pray about that. So if you need to answer the invitation in any way, won't you please come forward and do so now as we stand and as we sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow.
Since tomorrow is our last night, if you know for whatever reason that you're not going to be here tomorrow, please make sure to let me know on your way out so I can give you a proper goodbye. I really enjoyed being with each and every one of you, and love you all very much. And I would hate for you to slip out and not be able to make it back tomorrow and not be able to tell you that I love you and goodbye. So if you do that for me, I'd appreciate it.
Can the church say amen?
Amen.
For the things we've heard. Great.
Let's turn to number 723.
Sing them over again to me.
Wonderful word of life.
Let me more of their beauty see.
Wonderful word of life,
words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty, beautiful word,
wonderful word, wonderful word of life,
of life, beautiful word,
wonderful word,
wonderful.
Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the beautiful word that you've written in your book of books and of the ministry of Jesus your Son and the teaching that he has done and given by example to the lives of those in biblical times as well as all day down the stream of time to us as well. Thank you, Father, for this good lesson tonight and good help that it is to us to not put stumbling blocks in front of others around us. Help us to be people who grow more and more in the opportunities to invite others and to get out of their way to you. Thank you for every blessing that you share with our lives. May we glorify thee in the things that we say and do henceforth every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
It's been complicated to bring you down here.
What time are you going to do?